Here's a dance you should know. When the lights are down low, grab your baby then go. I do the huckabuck, I do the huckabuck. If you don't know how to do it, boy, you're out of luck. Push your baby out, then you hunch your back. Start a little movement in your sacroiliac. Wiggle like a snake, waddle like a duck. That's the way you do it when you do the hucklebuck.
Hey, not now. Bet and Steny will tell you when. Hey, girls, start talking.
Hello.
Hello, people of Earth. People of Earth. Hucklebug Nation.
Welcome to the Hucklebug. I am Steny.
And I'm Ben, and we're back.
We're back. It's episode 710 of the Hucklebug. It ends in a zero, so it must be special.
Oh, it'll be special. Well, it's going to be long. That'll make
it's definitely going to be long. We've got about two shows worth of material because we've been gone for a couple weeks.
Be calm, folks. Please bear with us.
Yeah, just let us talk, would you? We'll start with a rip, a monumental rip. The great James Earl Jones passed away in the time that we have been gone.
Yes.
Very important to Bette, especially for his role.
But very important to the world because he was the voice of Darth Vader.
Of course he was the voice of Darth Vader.
And he was the voice of CNN.
This is CNN. He also used to do, it was the Rush Limbaugh show. He used to do the, you're listening to the CIB network or whatever it was.
Oh, dear.
That was him too. Yeah, I know. Oh.
But, you know, I think I learned this from Letterman. That people used to come up to him and say, would you please record this as CNN so I can use it on my answering machine? And he always did. He always did.
Why not just take it off of the existing recording?
This is John. Leave your message.
That would be so great to have James Earl Jones on your answering machine.
But for me, of course, my love of James Earl Jones, even though I knew him beforehand, was his playing of Few Clothes Johnson in the John Sayles movie Mate One, which filmed and took place in our area.
And if you've been listening to this show for any length of time, you should know that it's Bette's favorite film of all time.
Well, it's in the top three.
It's up there.
As a family film, it's probably our family's favorite film because it's about our family, you know.
Right.
And he is just fantastic in it.
He really is.
But then I want to mention one other movie and then you can take it from here.
Okay.
He was in a movie that my sister and nephew had been trying to get me to watch forever, and I never thought I would be interested in it. It's a movie called The Sandlot. Have you ever seen
it? Oh, yeah.
The little boys who play baseball in their baseball. I had totally forgotten he was the mean old man who their baseball went into his yard.
He seems like a movie mean old man, doesn't he?
Yes.
I mean, with that big scowling face.
Yes.
Forget about the Darth Vader voice. He's got that big scowly face. That's the kind of yard you don't want to go get your ball back from, for sure.
Yes.
That's well cashed right there. I actually don't have a ton to say about James Earl Jones. I mean, obviously, he's a complete freaking legend, not just of the silver screen, but of the stage as well.
Of the stage, yes.
And television. He did his time on television like everybody.
Oh, when I went to the very beginnings of his career, he was on soap operas.
Oh,
like
all right.
Guiding Light, you know.
Oh, see, that's a New York actor.
You gotta start someplace.
That's a classic New York actor starting spot right there is the Guiding Light. The other, you know, just the voice, his voice is amazing. The one I always think of is the Lion King, who's, of course, the voice of Simba. And, you know, the voice of CNN, as we also already mentioned.
Yeah. And as imposing as that voice was, when you saw him interviewed, like on talk shows or just TV interviews, such a sweet guy.
Just a
happy-go-lucky guy, happy with his fate in the acting world.
For sure.
There was nothing imposing about him there.
No, other than his voice. His voice is very imposing. Exactly. Very imposing. But bless your heart. We miss you already, James Earl Jones. Thank you for everything you've done for us.
Had a great run. 93.
Good run. for sure. Rest in peace. Rest in peace, James Earl Jones. We will now move on to your shout-outs.
Yes.
Roar! Only got a couple this week. We were away. We don't expect you guys to be checking in with us all the time. You know, we were away. Yeah. We're not doing anything. Why should you be doing anything? But we do have a couple of shout-outs. And the first one's for Marla. Marla.
And she says, summer is over. Sending hugs, friends. I don't know if you're sending hugs because your sad summer is over or your happy summer is over.
I'm receiving your hugs. Well, we are now, what I like about, that we're actually in my favorite time of year, which is that period just between the end of summer and the beginning of fall. This is my favorite time of year. Not just because my birthday happens to fall during it, but it's just...
But it can be warm, and then towards the end of the day, it gets cooler.
Exactly. It's gorgeous right now. We're having a beautiful day here.
Across the street from me, oh my God, Milo is looking out the front window of my house. I already have leaves starting to turn. Mm-hmm.
We've got
leaves
here. Which
is my favorite thing about fall.
I love it. The smell. I love the smell. I love that the first night. It's usually in early September here anyway. It's probably different wherever you live. But that first night when you step outside, and you get that crisp chill in the air where you're like, oh, fall is here. It's coming.
Yeah.
I love it. It's time to put a hoodie on.
Yeah.
It's great.
And winter, stay away from me.
This is the best part of the fall too, because here in Bellingham, the sun is still out and, you know, and by mid-October, we're just going to have clouds.
Oh yeah.
Until May. So I'm just enjoying the sunshine while it remains. Thank you, Marla.
Yay.
And our second and final shout out this week is for Doug. We are the starter. And he says, representing the Hucklebug Nation, a story in our local A&E Weekly, Arts and Entertainment, I assume. Have a great show, he says. And if you click on it, there's a picture here, a little newspaper clipping.
Yep.
And there's Doug sitting in the brand new seats in our auditorium at the Bellingham Theater Guild.
Yes.
I got my name on one, Bet. I got my name on a seat.
Nice.
Yeah. I feel like an actual grown-up now because I got my name on a seat at the Theater Guild.
They look comfy. You know,
They're all right. They're better than the old seats.
Looks like I might fit nicely in those seats.
The old seats had springs coming out of them. They were not good. They were not good. But, you know, they were used when we put them in 1982 or whenever.
You know,
Doug will know. You
got to do what your finances tell you.
That's right. Oh, yeah, that's right. And you know what? They served us a good long time, those seats, the old ones. But these new ones will serve us a good long time, too. Thank you, Doug, for that. I will look for that in the paper.
By the way... We were just talking about it earlier. Doug rocking the long hair.
Yeah,
Doug,
your hair is looking fantastic. And you know what?
You need to start a band, Doug.
I saw Doug in the flesh the other night, Thursday evening. He came out. I don't know if he had just stepped out of the shower or what, but his hair was absolutely perfect. It was so good, Doug. It seemed like he just came from the salon. It was silver and flowing and shiny. You look great. I didn't comment on it.
Does he have hair and makeup somewhere in his house?
No. It's all the natural look. It's all Doug, just Doug. But thank you for your shout out. We appreciate you.
Yay!
Dougie and Marla. Yay! All right, we're going to jump right into our show because we've got so much of it.
Okay, well, I'm going to start because I have a movie.
Yay!
And this movie came a while back, probably the day after we last recorded.
Ah, yes. It's been a bit.
But it's a movie I watched simply because I saw it on Netflix.
Okay.
And I had seen the commercials for it. I don't know if you have or had. In late spring, early summer, they were really playing a lot of commercials for this movie, a little twee English movie called Wicked Little Letters. With Olivia Colman.
Oh, love her.
Yeah, I mean, how can you not?
How can you not? If you've seen Fleabag and you don't like Olivia Colman, there's definitely something wrong with you.
So I thought, well, man, that's something I'd like to watch. So I queued it up and watched it. And I really, there's a, There's a reason I really liked it, and you'll find out, Stint.
Okay.
Because it's about Olivia Colman, who mm-hmm. played this. This movie takes place in about 1920 okay. in a British seaside town, you know, by the sea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know what the seaside is.
It's about.
Thank you.
A girl a
seaside splained. Town, you guys, is a town that's by the sea.
A girl splained that.
You did a little bit. That's okay.
But anyway, she plays a, you know, her age spinster, very big in the local church. I think it's the Methodist, okay. who still lives with her parents. And she's very pious. Mm-hmm. And she starts getting in the mail these notes.
Ah. Wicked little letters.
Wicked little letters. And so she opens these notes and reads them, and they are filled with insults that contain the most incredibly prolific cussing.
Oh, dear.
And swear words you have ever heard. Okay. I mean, stuff that for us would kind of make you laugh, but back then,
right.
Her mother faints. Her dad yeah. is angry and goes to the police.
Yeah.
And so they're trying to find out who is sending her these letters, because one comes like every other day. Mm-hmm. And so the person who lives beside of her and her parents is an Irish woman who came out after World War One, and she's she cusses a lot, and she's a rogue. Let's okay. just say she's a rogue.
All right.
And so, of course, everybody thinks she's sending the letters out. And so the whole town goes on this big, you know, thing about getting this woman, putting her on trial. You know, they say it's a mystery of who's sending the letters.
Uh-huh.
It's not.
Oh.
And the big reveal comes way early in the movie, and we all saw it coming anyway.
Okay.
So, you know, for that part of it, I wouldn't call this laugh out loud funny, but it is certainly a giggler, because just reading when every time she opens a note and it shows on the screen what the note said. For anybody who loves creative cursing
oh,
and people, if you, you know anything we about us, you know we yeah. we love
if you, again, if you've been listening to the show for any length of time.
It is just so sweet and funny. And I do have to say that her parents, her father is played by, talk about somebody who can only make a movie better. Her dad is Timothy Spall. He of
mm-hmm.
All or Nothing, which we talked about yes. a few weeks ago, and I hadn't seen him in a while, and he's aged well. He's acting well,
of course.
So like I said, it's a giggler, but if you want to just kind of giggle at some funny curses, watch Wicked Little Letters.
Wicked
it's
Little funny. Letters. All right, Netflix. There you go. A fine endorsement right there. I have no movies or binge watches because I've been away, but I do have tales of being away.
Yes.
So the first week that I was away, I was at Dad's while my sister went off for yet another wedding. And I wasn't really there to take care of Dad. Really, I was there to take care of the cats, because Dad can only do so much in terms of the cats. So really, I was there for that. But, you know, of course, any opportunity to go and have a little one-on-one time with Dad is welcome, of course.
Oh, absolutely.
We had a very nice visit. He's doing great. I think it's really suiting him to have Stacy living there now.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Steve just joined them, so their dynamic is all about to change again, right? Oh. Steve is Stacy's husband. Well, you know, just for a little while Steve gets settled in and everybody kind of, okay. you know, finds their spot.
But
you know what
Dad
I mean?
Gets along with Steve.
It's oh, like, yeah, of course. Okay. Everybody gets along okay. with Steve. Great okay. dude. But the only downside really of the visit is that there were tons of wildfires in the area and the air was so smoky. I couldn't even really go outside that much. It was just nasty. Ooh. So, but it was fine. You know what? Usually when I visit Dad, we just stay inside and watch TV anyway. So that's what we did. We stayed in and we watched TV. We watched, you know, We watched stupid Hallmark movies and made fun of them. We watched, you know, Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. We watched
food porn. Can't get wrong.
Oh, all day on Saturday, we watched college football. We watched college football all day from the moment we woke up until the moment we went to bed. And we got to watch everybody we liked. And, you know, we got to see an upset. I can't remember. I think it was it Illinois State or somebody beat Notre Dame? Some little team knocked off Notre Dame, and that was big. And we were, you know, celebrating that like we had some sort of stake in it, which we didn't. And I think the Huskies won, the Cougars won, the Mariners won while I was there. And then I didn't get to watch the Seahawks game because I was driving home during the Seahawks game. So I missed that, but the Seahawks also won. In fact, I haven't seen the Seahawks play yet this season.
Oh, my.
Because I was driving home from Dad's the first Sunday, and then the second Sunday we were driving home from camping. So I haven't gotten to see them play yet, but they've won both games. You know what? Maybe I'm a jinx. Maybe I won't watch them this season. Maybe they'll win all their games if I don't watch.
Oh, but you know, from my memories too, watching sports with the dad.
Oh.
Nothing better.
It's the best. It's the best. Yep. And we're never at a loss for something to talk about if we're watching a game together, whether it's good or bad, you know? Because if it's bad, we can complain. And if it's good, we can celebrate. So either way, it's good. But he's doing really well. And he's keeping up with his physical therapy. And I mean, I had to keep reminding him to drink water. He keeps forgetting to drink water.
Oh.
And that can become a problem, especially if he's, you know, he gets low blood pressure and stuff sometimes, and you know that can really mess with him if he doesn't drink his water.
Smoke didn't bother his eyes?
No, because we were inside.
Okay,
he didn't
so he didn't have to. Okay, okay.
I really only went outside to have a cigarette, and you know,
and there's smoke anyway.
I know exactly, so you know, it doesn't bother my throat any more than a normal cigarette does. But yeah, I mean, you know, he's remembering to do his physical therapy exercises. Stacey's like, don't forget, be sure you ride him about doing his physical therapy because he won't do it if you don't remind him. He did it every single day. I never had to.
Oh, man. That's
the only thing I had to remind him was I had to bring him a bottle of water and say, drink this. And his Ensure around 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
Congratulations. You're officially old. It's time for your Ensure. But yeah, I mean, it was a good visit. So that was that's my dad recap. There's not a whole lot to it,
well,
but he's doing well, and it was great to see him. Woohoo!
Okay, well, I have a low light.
Oh, a low light.
Not of the week. It was of the past time we've been gone.
Yes.
But as most of you may know, my sister Pat is overseas. I think she's coming back tomorrow.
Yeah.
But it was like two weeks and 2 days without her. And it had been like a black cloud over me for weeks before she left. That something was going to happen while she was gone. And, I was thinking, you know, I would get sick. I would get sick and she wouldn't be there.
Yeah.
Or I'd fall and hurt myself.
And she wouldn't
be there.
Yeah.
As happens, the night before she left, good old Pubmobile 3 decided to die on me.
Oh, no.
And I had been driving around, you know, doing my driving around after work. Was almost home. It was at the intersection where you turn right to go home.
Yeah.
And at the red light, the engine just...
Oh, I hate that.
And so, you know, I was pumping the gas, drove the, like, eighth of a mile. I got to my driveway. So, oh, my God. At least I got home.
Yeah.
Came inside. Let it go for a night. Then the next morning, I had to call the tow truck to get my car to the Subaru place. Then call the Subaru place. And I was just thinking, oh, you know, this is going to be a crap storm.
Yeah.
But it all worked out okay.
Yes.
And I'll talk about that later. But
that's right.
It all worked out okay.
This is only part one of the story.
Right. This is
part two is coming later.
But I got the Pubmobile back on Tuesday after Thursday, you know. But I started thinking about the Pubmobile. I mean, it has such low mileage.
Yeah.
But it's 11 years old.
Yeah.
And so things are going to start to break down or go bad.
Yes, it's true. Wear out. You
know, the last time it died on me was in January of this year. That was like $2,000 and some dollars.
Right.
This time it was almost $1,400. So in 1 year, I have spent like $3,500.
Right.
On my car.
Yeah, on repair.
And it's not going to get any better.
Right.
And so since then, I've been going out. You know, I can't afford a new car. I just can't. But I still keep going. And, you know, I actually, on my afternoon off, after I got my car back, I actually drove to the Subaru place. And I didn't get out because, you know, once you get out of the car, you got a target on your back.
Yeah.
I just drove around and I looked at cars. And oh, that one's cute. I'll look at that online. Oh, here's a used one. I'll look at that. That's cute. Mm-hmm. Nothing's the least you can get a new car for nowadays is $35,000.
Oh, my God.
I can't afford it.
No, it's crazy.
Yeah.
But there should be a decent certified pre-owned.
Well, the one that I found was a Subaru Crosstrek. And when I found it, it was so cute. And when I came back, it was a 2017 model, but it had 107,000 miles on it.
Oh, that's a lot.
I can't do that. You know,
that's a lot of miles.
I want like a 2021 that maybe has 50,000 miles. That's less than I've got now. You know, I could deal with that.
Yeah.
But even, you know, when you go and you do the little calculations, even if I finance it for 72 months, it's not a car payment that I want. So,
right.
You know, as happy as I was to get my Podmobile back, I guess I'm stuck with it because that's all I've got and that's all
I'm so sorry. That's a bummer.
Yeah.
Ah, that is a low light. I thought this was going to turn into something really happy, but no. Oh, well. Then I guess I won't mention that I bought out the lease on my car.
Oh, yeah. I can remember.
My payment's going up, though.
When you getting your new car was a surprise on the podcast.
Yeah, that was fun.
That rocked.
That was fun. Yeah, now it's mine. Yeah, if anything, I did that stupidly. I should have just bought it outright. I never should have leased. I mean, that's where I wasted my money. I wasted my money leasing it for 3 years. I should have been making payments on it all that time. I mean, I was, but the payments weren't really.
I've never even checked into leasing. You know,
you should look into that. Actually, that's not a bad idea. But I mean, you still have to pay. Obviously,
you gotta pay.
It's something to think about. All right, I have now. A mom update.
A mom update.
We had a dad update. Now it's time for a mom update. Well, big news finally on the mom front. Now, I don't know how much of this I have shared with you guys. Maybe not much of it at all. But when mom moved into the adult family home back in March, she did not settle there very well. She had an episode. Actually, it was just like a 4-day episode. And she just didn't do well there. And so she ended up being transferred to a local hospital. And she's been living at that local hospital since March. But I have good news, which is that on Monday, she's finally moving into a genuine memory care facility.
Yes.
And I'm really happy about it, but I'm also really nervous about it because I'm afraid she's not going to settle there either. And then I don't know what we do.
Oh.
So I'm a little nervous, but I'm hopeful because, you know, she's been in that hospital for such a long time. She hasn't like seen the sunshine. I mean, she's got a window so she can see the sunshine, but you know, she hasn't been outside. She hasn't had her hair cut, you know. Tons of stuff has been going on.
Yeah, that's no way to be. Yeah.
It's no way to be. I mean, they've been wonderful with her, but, it's time now. So I'm very hopeful that she will settle in okay. She's going to have her own room. It's a little further away than I would like it to be. It's about an hour and 15 minutes away, so it's going to be a bit of a haul to go down and visit her. But, I'm looking forward to her moving and very, very hopeful that she'll settle in and meet some friends and you know, start to hopefully thrive.
Oh, if she can just make a couple of friends to
exactly be just with. One. If she just makes one friend,
To play, I'd be happy with it. TV or just
exactly just to just sit and do puzzles or you know whatever. So that's the big news for mom. Mom's finally moving into a care facility. It's been a very long time coming. I can't even describe what all of the different delays have been. But anyway, we're moving in the right direction now. So thumbs up.
Oh,
and hands on the monitor, everybody, for mommy.
Exactly. My hand is on it right now. Oh,
so are mine. My little fingertips. Please, I got one hand on each monitor.
Good for mom.
Please let everything go well for mom. Okay, bet.
Well, I have something called highlight within a low light.
See, I love this because you guys, I don't know if you remember, but back in the day when we used to do low lights and highlights all the time, Bette always had a low light within her highlight. But this time she's got a highlight within the low light, which is a much better way to be.
Well, and I'm thinking maybe that's a trend. And you know,
hey, let's hope so.
So my highlight within the low light is exactly how I handled everything about the above low light.
Yeah.
Like when it happened, I got to my driveway, I came in the house, walked in, sat down, took a deep breath.
Yes.
I can't make this unhappen.
Right.
It happened. So what do I do? Nothing. I'm leaving it for tonight. I'll work on it tomorrow. So then I went out, you know, got the tow, called Cole. And, even though, you know, they have so much work to do, I told them, you know, I need as much as you can work on it. You know, I need to know if you can find out what's going on. And so even though my stomach was churning at work that day, I went on the phone back and forth. And by the end of the day, they told me that it needed a part. It was going to be gone for a while, but they'd give me a loaner.
That's good.
And so I was okay. I didn't freak out. I didn't have a meltdown. I didn't say, oh my God, my life is so awful.
My life is over. Why me?
Why do I live a life like this? I didn't do any of that.
Good for you.
I credit better therapy. You know, there were my bees last time.
Yep.
But Todd and BetterHelp have really helped me. I was just really proud of myself that
good
I didn't
for you.
Go overboard, you know.
Those are the things that I try to work on also. I mean, a lot of times I'm finding that my reactions are way out of proportion to the things I'm reacting to.
Well, that's the thing. You know, therapy, I hate this word, but therapy calls it catastrophizing. But I have been so guilty of catastrophizing everything, and I didn't. I was
good for you.
It
Excellent.
Was what it was.
Way to go,
Bette. Change it, you know.
You know, I hesitate to say this, but I feel like I should. Maybe not on the podcast, and I'll cut this if you would like me to. But I have noticed a big change in you since you have started working with Todd.
Oh no, you put that in. That
okay.
I'm actually proud of my work and the work that he is making me do.
Yeah.
All the
I'm
work
proud of you for
all
doing
of
it.
The suggestions and all of the questions he gives me to answer.
Right. I'm proud of you for doing it. It's making a difference, and I just want you to know that it's making a difference. I know you can feel it internally, but I want you to know that it's also external.
And it's also so expensive that I can't afford a car. So
that's the downside, I guess. Well, listen, maybe if he gets you cured, you don't have to pay him anymore, and then you can get a car.
But by then, that might be $40,000.
Well, that's true. That's true. That's always the downside, isn't it?
And still a laugh. It's okay.
Yeah. Well, good for you. I think you're doing great. Let's see. I have another recap. So last weekend, the reason we didn't do a show is because I was away again. And this time I was away camping with my friends. So I have a camping recap. And this will be quick too, but it was a short camping trip. we usually, we go one of two places. There's a place out in Orcas Island where we like to go. This is with Mish and Les. And the other place that we sometimes go, which is where we went this year, is in Eastern Washington on Lake Wenatchee at a campground called Nason Creek. And that's where we went. And it was wonderful. It was very relaxing and peaceful. But it was also fucking freezing at night. It was so cold.
Oh, no.
It was down to like 42 degrees overnight.
Ooh.
Which I thought, from my vantage point here inside a warm home with four walls and insulation, I was like, 42 sounds kind of nice. Because, you know, I sleep hot now. I have menopause. Yeah.
I think so, 42 might be my house.
I thought 42 sounds kind of nice, actually, because I sleep with the window open and the fan going. I'm like, that's gonna be a relief, frankly, to sleep. No, it's not.
In
it's
real
fucking
nature,
freezing. It's
no
very
way.
Cold. It's very cold when you're in a tent with no insulation and a thin little sleeping bag. So I was very cold. But this is the thing. Every time I go camping, it's a learning experience for the next time. And I always come home with a list of things I need to get by the time we go camping again next year. So one of the things I'm going to have next year is a warmer sleeping bag. Uh-huh. This is later in the year than we normally go. That's the other thing. So that's part of the reason it was so chilly. Yeah. The other thing is we're going to bring walkie-talkies so that when we're on the drive out there, we have a quick method of communication from car to car.
Walkie-talkies.
Yeah.
Red Wing and Blue Jay.
That's right. Come in, Blue Jay. Come in, Blue Jay. So I'm looking forward to that. And a hot water bottle. I'm going to get an actual old-fashioned hot water bottle like they had in the movies back in the day, the red rubber one.
Where are you going to get the hot water? You'll boil it.
I'll boil it on my little camp stove.
Okay.
And then put water in that. And then that will at least just keep my little feet warm because I think it was just – my toes were actually numb.
Oh.
See, and you really, if your feet are cold, the rest of you is cold.
Your whole body's cold.
Trust me. So that was, you know, that's the good and the bad of camping. But mostly it was good. I didn't sleep well, but you know, in the daytime, everything was great. It was a lovely, wonderful trip.
And seeing the pictures of you all and Zuzu.
Zuzu, what a fun little camper
she is. I didn't know Zuzu was going to come with you, but boy, those pictures of her in the dirt. Oh my goodness,
she loves herself a little dig in the dirt. She's just a joy to have around camping. She's a good camping dog. Oh. I guess the first time they ever took her camping, it rained the whole time. And she did not like it. And she was like, why are we even doing this? But she's grown used to camping now and seems very much to enjoy it. We had a great time.
Great.
Lots of fun. Now, what do you got next for us?
Well, the next thing I have is Bette's Rabbit Hole.
Okay.
You know, when I go to a place and I just can't get rid of it.
The rabbit holes. We love the rabbit holes.
Yes. And this may have been a rabbit hole for me way back in the day. Some of the old timers may remember it, but maybe not some of the new ones. So my rabbit hole, I love bad album covers.
Oh, yes. It's been a while since we've been on a bad album covers rabbit hole.
And of course, there is a website by some squeeze friends of mine, but it's defunct now. They don't add anything to it. But I went back and looked at some of the older ones. It's called LP Cover Lovers.
Oh, yeah. LPCoverLovers.com.
Yeah. And this is just, they show album covers that you don't own that have the god-awfulest pictures on them that you've ever seen. Of course, we know number one is Jesus Use Me.
That's the best one.
Right.
You're going to have to send me a couple samples so I can leave comments there on the Facebook page so that the listeners can enjoy this as well.
But I didn't realize until I went to YouTube one night that there are YouTube videos of bad album covers.
Oh.
And a lot of them are repeats and they're frankly worth seeing again, but there were new ones. And I just can't explain the laughter And the past 2 weeks of my life have been pretty hard at work. So just going out and looking at these album covers, I have to say, I hope I don't offend anybody, but the albums by Christians doing religious music, they do seem to be with big hair.
Oh my God.
And a lot of them have ventriloquist dummies in them.
Oh my God.
Which for me, if you're listening to a record, why do you care about a ventriloquist?
Yeah. That's like, you know, Edgar Bergen became a famous ventriloquist on the radio. And you know why?
Right.
It's because his mouth moved the whole time. He didn't even do good voices. He was a shitty ventriloquist, you guys.
Oh, but the hair, the fashions.
Oh my goodness.
There were two that included a gospel group that starred the singing midget.
Oh my goodness. You can't even say that word anymore. We're going to get canceled.
And I think I'll link to you the first one on YouTube that kind of got me into it. Okay. Just so people can see, because if you go and take the link and you look at this, you're going to love bad album covers as much
you're
as
you're going to love them. The Jesus Use Me one, I will leave that as a reference point as well, because Jesus Use Me one,
even Fry.
Yes, exactly. I was just gonna say, it's a trio known as the Faith Tones, and yes, they have the big hair, but one of them looks exactly like Stephen Fry.
And somebody had commented, Stephen Fry, Graham Norton, and Mike Myers.
As I can see it. Tones. Oh, I can see it. Somebody else said, someone else says the Stephen Fry one looks like a young John Lithgow, which I can also see, actually. But I see Stephen Fry much more. But I'll be sure to leave that one also as a reference point. But yeah, you send me whatever link you got. Oh my goodness, those are so good, the bad album covers.
The sad part of it is I've probably now watched on YouTube 98%.
98%, and you're running out.
So I'm still looking for more I haven't seen yet.
All right. Somebody get Bet, somebody send Bet a new pipeline of these bad album covers, would you please?
And another thing that makes me laugh, the comments on these videos are just hilarious. But there are so many Christian albums of kids singing religious music, and almost all of them are called He Touched Me.
Don't they know what they're doing? Can't set us up like that. Come on. Oh, it's just foolish. All right, I have a pet story, and then we'll do our U rules, and then we'll get the heck out of here. I don't think we're that long either. I think
really?
Well.
I can't believe it.
Sometimes when we know we have a lot to do, we just get down to business, and we just and that's what we've done today. All for you, listeners. We're just packing two hours a show into 45 minutes.
I want to hear some pet stories.
So my pet story, you guys maybe saw the pictures on the internet in between my trip to Dad's and my trip camping. Poor little Scout. So
poor little girl.
She, well now, I don't know if I might have told you, Ben. I don't think I said anything on the show, but Scout has a tendency sometimes. She's a bit of a neurotic cat. A lot of my cats have been neurotic. I don't know what that's about. That's a weird thing, but a lot of the cats I've owned have been a little bit cuckoo. And one thing Scout does to soothe herself is she overgrooms. And so, like, her belly is always sort of bald because she just licks until the hair's all gone.
Milo used to get hot spots.
Right. So you'll be familiar with this then, because she found a little spot on the back of her back foot and just licked until it started bleeding. And she did that a few times, and it bled for a little bit and then stopped. And I was like, well, you know, if it's just her foot, I'm not too worried about it. Other than it could get infected, because obviously she goes in the cat litter box and, you know, she's going to get stuff on her foot in there. But there was a day, I guess it was a Tuesday. It was the Tuesday between my trip to Dad's and my camping trip, where she was just walking around the house, just leaving a trail of blood behind her everywhere she went. And he'd stop and lick it a little bit more, and then it would get worse. And finally, and every other time that I had noticed this little spot on her foot, you know, the bleeding would stop. But this time the bleeding wasn't stopping. So I thought, I probably better take her to the vet.
Didn't you worry?
Yep. Yep. So I took her to the vet. Last minute appointment, called the vet, and I called them, I think, at 10 in the morning, and they said, we can get you in today at 2:30. I said, 2:30 is perfect.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Also got me out of a meeting at work, which was great. But yeah, but it did mean she had to be in the cone of shame.
Oh.
She was in the cone of shame from Tuesday afternoon until Friday morning when I left to go camping.
Oh, that's a long time to be in the cone of shame.
It was a long time. Well, and the other thing was the vet told me, and I told the vet, I said, this is kind of bad timing, but I'm going away this weekend and I'm not planning on anybody looking after them. And so we talked about that. And she said, well, you know what? Why don't you leave her in the cone? I said, I don't really want to leave her in the cone when I'm not home.
Right.
You know, because she could get stuck on something.
Who knows?
Who knows what exactly. The fuck, right? So they said, all right, well, leave her in the cone until you go away. And when you come back, take a look at her foot. And, maybe, you know, if she's still having problems, you know, then she goes, the vet said, worst case scenario is you get set back a couple of days and you just start the process over again. But they gave me a little bit of ointment to put on her boo-boo. And then the cone of shame. You guys will probably find this hard to believe, but in all my years owning cats, I've never had one in the cone of shame before.
Ooh!
The closest was one time I brought Lincoln home from an appointment, and they'd given him a shot, and he kept licking it, and I didn't want him to lick it, so I got him a cone. But I only made him wear it for 20 minutes because he was such a pathetic baby. I put it on him and he literally like just fell over and he was like, I cannot live. I cannot live now. So he kept trying to walk backwards to get out of it. And he just lay on the floor for like 10 minutes. And then when he did finally get up, he immediately got the cone stuck on something. And I was like, all right, well, you're pathetic. Fine. I'll just take it off of him. So that was the extent of my time with a cat in a cone. So here's Scout, 14 years old now, her first time in a cone, and I just didn't know how she was going to take to it because I saw how Lincoln reacted. She was great. She was such a game little girl. She was like, well, I guess this is my handicap now. And she had a lot of trouble jumping up on things when she was wearing the cone because she couldn't see her front feet.
God.
The other thing was she kept walking into walls, and I'm like, what do you do? Like, you're not on drugs. Why do you keep walking into the wall? I couldn't figure it out, but it's because when cats enter a room, they always try to rub their cheek against the wall to mark it, to go, this is my room. I'm in my room now. And, you know, and they always try to, like, when they pass like a door frame or something like that, they always try to rub their face. So she, you know, gets stuck with the cone against the wall because she's trying to rub her face against the wall and stuff. But she did great. She only had to wear it for like 2.5 days. And like by the end of the first night, she was already figuring it out. She figured out how to eat. She figured out how to, she did have trouble in the water dish. She made a big fucking mess with the water dish.
I hope you didn't say anything.
Oh, of course not. Of course not. All I did was try to make it easier for her. I think I ended up putting it up on something a little bit higher so she could reach it a little more easily with a cone on. But she did great. And I was so proud of her. It's so silly, but I was so proud of her for just going, all right, well, I guess I'll just get on with life then. And Lincoln could take a page out of her book. But here's the best part. I came home from camping, and the very first thing I did when I got in the door, you know, I, you know, pet the cats and everything. Yeah. And then I, you know, just sort of turn Scout around and get a look at her foot. It's perfect. Mm. It's perfect. Her foot is fine.
Didn't
now.
Didn't do a thing while you were gone.
No, apparently not. But her foot looks way better. Or if she did, it all got cleaned up somehow by the time I got home. Oh. Because, yeah, her foot looks... Yeah, right.
Mom's coming.
That's right. Mom's coming. Clean up that blood. So yeah, she did great. So I'm very proud of my sweet little girl.
Oh, sweetie.
No more cone of shame for her. So that's yay. Good for her. All right, let's do our new rules and then.
Okay. Well, I have one new rule, and I don't know that I've ever done this, and I don't know if I'm allowed to do this, but my new rule this week is for me.
Excellent. You are allowed, and I wish you would do it more.
because of, first of all, the whole Pawmobile thing.
Right.
You know, how I handled it.
Yep.
I thought it through and I got it done.
Yes.
But there were other things as well. First of all, during the whole Pawmobile thing, when they told me that they would give me a loaner, that I wouldn't have to rent a car. You know me, who's afraid to... I was grateful, so I was afraid to ask anything.
Right.
I actually plucked up my courage and asked, well, can you take that car and bring it down to my place of work so I don't have to drive over to you? And they did. It was perfect. They could have said no. They could have said yes. I didn't care. And they did.
Doesn't hurt you to ask. They won't. Yeah. They won't go, no, get the fuck out of my office. Now you don't get a car.
Right. So I did that, which kind of amazed me and was happy about it. Then there was another little thing that happened last week. Like I said, my sister is traveling the world.
Yeah.
And when we parted before she left, we hugged each other. And I said, Pat, I know you're going overseas and you're going to be gone for a long time. But don't be a stranger, please. Just send me some stuff.
Yeah.
And so I got, and she normally, because of this, she normally sends me nothing when she travels.
Yeah.
I have to look at CNN to see if a plane has crashed. just make sure she got where she's going.
Exactly, yeah.
But she did send me one text that said we arrived in Amsterdam at 2:45. You know, then nothing for at least a week. And I could have texted her and been snarky or passive aggressive and said something about you were supposed to do this,
right?
But I didn't. I was just very nice and I said, Pat, I asked you not to be a stranger, but I just want to know what kind of a trip you're having. I'd love to hear where you've been, and I'd love to see some pictures.
Yeah, send some pictures.
Almost immediately, they started coming in. She started sending things, and I've always liked the pictures and sent comments to let her know how much I appreciate it. So I just was a good girl, and I wasn't ugly, and I just said, Pat, I'd love to hear from you, and I did.
Yay!
So, maybe
excellent.
I'm not so bad after all.
No, you're not. That's what I've been trying to tell you. I've been trying to tell you that for years. That's why I hang out with you, because you're awesome.
As are you, friend.
Well, thank you. Well, congratulations on giving yourself your first You Rule, by the way. I think I've given myself a You Rule at least once before. So it's first of all, entirely allowed. And second of all, good for you. My You Rules this week. I have multiple You Rules now.
Yes.
My first You Rule is for my camping companions, Mish and Les. Thank you guys. And Zuzu, of course.
And Zuzu.
So much fun to, camping would not be fun if I only went by myself. I would not ever... Well, it would also be a little scary. I would never go camping by myself. But,
and I love the pictures you posted.
You go with friends, that's the reason you go. You go with
that's
friends.
That's right.
Spend time with your friends. And we
if
had
you're going to freeze to death, freeze with your friends.
That's right. Well, we camp well together too. Because we want to do, we like to do the same things. At night we hang around, we sit around by the fire and we sing songs or we play Star Trek trivia. And in the daytime we go to the nearest town and drink. So we did exactly what we wanted to do, and it was a delight.
Perfect.
Yeah. And my other You Rule is for, of course, Super Doug Starcher.
Yes.
Yay, Doug. He made another quiche delivery, and I do appreciate you, Doug. Got some quiche, got some meals saved up for myself, and I do appreciate it. I appreciate you, Doug, and everything you do, of course.
Oh, of course.
And that, you guys, that is our show. That is episode 710.
And it wasn't as long as we thought it was going
to
be.
No. I think we did pretty well bringing it in under an hour. Gang, we hope that you've enjoyed listening to this week's Hucklebug as much as we've enjoyed recording it. If you enjoy it even half as much as we enjoyed recording it, well, then that's a pretty good show. I
think. That's right.
That's what I would say. Because we had a great time.
And if you didn't, tell us what we did wrong. Yeah, tell us what we could do better.
Yeah, or why don't you start your own fucking podcast? No, I'm just teasing, of course. We love you guys. Thank you for listening. Join us again next week, won't you? When we'll be doing some other fun stuff, probably. Until that time, I am Stenny.
And I'm Bet.
We're Bet and Stenny, and you've been listening to The Hucklebug. Goodbye, everybody. Goodbye.
Bye. We love you. Mwah.
That's the way you do it when you do The Hucklebug.
You're gonna all right, here we lose. Go. You're gonna lose.